Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Jesus ascended to heaven from Mount Olivet, leaving the gospel in the hands of the apostles. On Pentecost, they were endued with power from on high. Peter preached the first gospel sermon, and the church was established that day, and 3,000 being baptized into Christ, many being added daily that were saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. As the early days of the church continued, we read of how 5,000 men, not counting women, were added, Acts 4 and verse 4. And Acts 4 and verse 32 tells us of multitudes coming. And then also Acts 5 and verse 14, multitudes of men and women came. And then in Acts 6 and verse 7 reveals that the number of the disciples multiplied exceedingly in Jerusalem. It has been estimated that 10,000 or more people were members of the Lord's church in Jerusalem shortly after it began. Now, how do we account for such a beginning and for such startling growth? The men involved were not unusually talented men. They were not rich in this world's goods. They were not politically influential or of a higher strata of society. Rather, they were humble, lowly, hard-working men of Galilee. And the answer is that they used spiritual energy. They had spiritual resources that they put to work. Their task was a spiritual one, and they used spiritual power. Friend, it takes power to accomplish any task. Man has developed steam engines and gasoline engines and other types of power, even atomic power, to accomplish certain tasks. Athletic teams drill and practice and train to develop skills in order to have necessary power to win the games. Power is not achieved overnight, but it takes effort. There's a price to be paid to possess it. Now, since power is needed in physical and temporal and human efforts, how much more is power needed in accomplishing the spiritual task? And the primary task of the Christian is a spiritual one, and he must have spiritual power. Such power comes through training and loyal devotion and self-discipline and sacrificial living. Paul wrote, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong," 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Again he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Yes, it takes power to be strong. Well, what are some of the sources of spiritual power available to us? Well, first there is the power of obedient faith in Christ. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Being a Christian means that power comes from Christ, and it belongs to you. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" We have the presence or the indwelling of the Spirit of Deity. Now, this is not an actual, literal, personal indwelling, as some have supposed, but as we partake of the Word of the Lord, Deity dwells in us. Just before Christ ascended into heaven, he gave the promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world," Matthew 28 and verse 20. And this means we are not alone in the task that we undertake for the Lord. Our power is the result of our linking ourselves with Christ. By this abiding faith, we can do that which is expected of us. Prayer is a source of great power in the spiritual realm. Matthew 21, verse 22 reads, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, we are not to dismiss certain conditions of an acceptable prayer, nor to think that God is obligated to fulfill our every request. We do not always know how to pray, nor for what to pray. But God hears our prayers, and he answers them according to that which he sees is best for us. We can illustrate the power and the need of prayer, I think, by thinking of a deep-sea diver provided with the air he must have through the lifeline that reaches to the top. If it were severed, he would perish. Friend, we're like that diver. Just as he must have air, we must have spiritual assistance. Our lifeline is prayer. We are strengthened through prayer. We gain confidence and hope because of the avenue of prayer. No wonder Paul admonished, "Pray without ceasing," 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. The idea is caught in the words of Tennyson, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." The inspired James said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We assume our duties with God as our helper. We do not go it alone. And then the Bible is a great source of spiritual power, of course. The Scripture furnishes us completely unto every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Bible is the message of the Lord. The gospel is God's power to save, Romans 1 and verse 16. Meditation on the message of God produces courage from fear, makes weakness turn into strength, and sorrow turns to consolation. Disturbance turns to peace, and despair becomes hope, and death comes life. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Standing on the Word of God, building our lives on the Word of God, we are standing on the solid rock that cannot and will not be shaken. But a righteous life is a source of power in the Lord's work. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, "Even so, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Consistent Christian living does much in the promotion of the cause of Christ. There is much wisdom in the idea that is conveyed by the saying, "I cannot hear what you say, because what you do speaks so loudly." Friend, there must be consistency between what is said and what is done. Just talking a good religion is not sufficient. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven," Matthew 7 and verse 21. Christ taught, but he also did, Acts 1 and verse 1, and so must we. The story is told of a preacher who preached in a gospel meeting in South Kentucky. One man, who was not a Christian, attended every night. But on the last evening, he obeyed the gospel. And the preacher asked him what influenced him to obey the gospel. And his response was, "The good life of my neighbor. He is a true and faithful Christian." We wonder how many may have been blinded from seeing the Savior by the inconsistencies of our lives. While many are saved because of the influence of good people, doubtless many remain lost because of the lack of that needed influence. Yes, a righteous life is indeed a source of power. Paul wrote Timothy, "Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands," 1 Timothy 1 and verse 6. Now this indicates that Timothy was granted miraculous powers. Friend, we do not have miraculous powers today. But we have powers and abilities and talents that we need to be using. We have latent energies and hidden resources that need developing and exercising. There is not one of us who does not have some ability to do some work in the kingdom, however small some may think that work is. What we must realize is that what we may consider small, the Lord may have quite a different outlook about it. In our day, some would look down on the lowly task of helping the needy. But this is Christ-likeness in action. Some do not think it's important in making a home where Christ is supreme, and that's all important. with a crave for careers outside the home, women being pushed into the foreground, and shutting our eyes to the havoc to the family, to morals, to modesty, to marriage, friend, that has resulted from women forsaking their primary duties for which they were created, and we see and we hear the noblest of tasks being classified as just a housewife. Would to God that we had more godly Christian women who took seriously the responsibility of guiding the house and rearing their children properly. We may consider only those things that are prominent and noticeable to be of any value, but that is a mistake. Each one has powers untouched that can be used for good. We too need to stir up the gift or talent that we have rather than bury it, as some did, like the one talent man in the Lord's parable. Sacrificial living is a source of power. In Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We really have not learned the essence of Christianity, friend, until we have learned to sacrifice. One of the basic fundamentals of the faith is denying self and putting the will of Christ first before all else in life. Those who will give of themselves for the cause of Christ will find resources to accomplish more than they ever dreamed could be done. What they do is of eternal, not just temporal, value. And let us turn our thoughts back to Mount Olivet once again, and the ascension of Christ into heaven. He told his apostles to go back to Jerusalem and wait there until they be endued with power from on high. Now that power, he defined, was the power of the coming of the Holy Spirit that was evidenced when the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. Now the promise of this baptism belonged to them, not to us. We do not have and we will not receive that kind of miraculous power. Proof of that we can present in another lesson, but the proof of it is irrefutable. But we do have power, nonetheless, to do the work that God calls upon us to do if only we would avail ourselves of it. Usually there is a great gap between what we are doing and what we are capable of doing. The early Christians bridged that gap through the use of spiritual powers available to them. We have spiritual powers available to us also, such as we have mentioned. Let us take advantage of them by going to their source. We need to realize our weaknesses without them, and we are useless until we grow strong through the use of power. Let our prayer be like that of Nehemiah. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Nehemiah 6 and verse 9. Then we can do the work that is ours to do and do a good job while doing it. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.